Accession number 29424, reel 14.
Many Germans say no to all war, not just to some wars, because of the German experience, which is so different to the British experience.
And perhaps Japan the
same. And the Japan is not too dissimilar. I mean, Japan went a step further and even wrote sort of a kind of pacifist manifesto into their new constitution. That even their armed forces are called defense units instead of army and navy. You know, I mean, they've gone back to being pretty traditional, but nevertheless, for a long time they were horrified at the idea of militarism. And Germans still don't like uniforms, when they used to be the nation that loved uniforms more than any other. You know, so it's a kind of strange reversal of roles between Britain and Germany.
So you've seen a lot of changes, really, haven't you, in your all the time you've been involved?
Yeah.
Yes. Do you feel optimistic today, you know, that perhaps we will get peace on Earth?
No. I feel pessimistic. And, you know, my rational self is pessimistic. My faith enables me to have hope. It's hope against hope. In other words, rationality isn't the last word. Perhaps the human race will see sense. Perhaps some God-given gift of turning around is still a possibility. But, you know, it's Albert Einstein, that great, not only scientist, but also moralist, said that, you know, unless human consciousness changes radically, the human race will not survive. And I think he was right. And at the moment, I don't see any large signs of human consciousness changing on any significant scale.
There's a great stress today, isn't there? And they brought a lot of celebrities into this, on poverty being the cause of all wars and conflicts. And
I don't actually believe that.
No, this would be very interesting to get your reaction.
The very poor certainly are never the cause of wars. They're far too weak. They're into the business of eating and hoping to get tomorrow's meal. The very poor are never the cause of wars. Those who've achieved some degree of success then want more and usually have the right to have more and are prepared to fight for it. But the aggressive instinct, the will to have power and to abuse it, is there in those with influence and power. I mean, in other words, this famous dictum, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and it's the corruption of power that knows no limits to what it wants, is on a collective scale the cause of war. Of course, social injustices can be used to justify war. But I mean, the leaders of Al-Qaeda, of course, can recruit from the dissatisfied. But on the whole, they're recruiting young intellectuals who are brilliant, who can organize 9/11. These are not people who have no bread. Poverty is wrong, full stop. I mean, absolute poverty is sinful when other people have more than they need. So, as it were, to fight poverty is a basic human need. But the idea that if we beat poverty, we'll have peace is not something I subscribe to. War is actually enjoyed by a lot of people. the adrenaline runs, and nations are buoyed up by it. And you still hear people being nostalgic about the last war in Britain. You know, we were never so cohesive as a nation. We never felt so good about each other. We never helped each other so well. You know, it creates commonality. There is something diabolically enjoyable about war, and even about the cult of death. Something about dying that, I mean, the suicide bombers are just a tip of an iceberg. I mean, whole nation, I mean, you know, 1914 sending thousands over the top to get killed, it was suicidal. It was like the Gadarene swine running into the sea to kill, all get killed together. There is some kind of quite diabolical dynamic of, yes, I almost say, you know, to kill an, we, ha- I mean, Bruce Kent always says, can't we do for the world what we've done within our civilized societies, saying killing people is wrong, is criminal, and indeed is categorized as the worst form of crime. But to do it collectively, far from being the worst form of crime, it is something glorious to which we put up statues to people who do it collectively. Can't we collectively organize the world in a way that makes war criminal, and that an international United Nations will create the dynamic that anybody who even threatens to go to war is immediately ostracized, you know, is treated like an individual who kills. Can't we go from the personal to the collective? At the moment, I don't see it happening yet. But if that insight were to spread, I mean, Bruce Kent started this organization that goes far beyond C&D to say, you know, an end to all war. Which is, I mean, pacifists on the whole have been idealists and said, you can fight your wars, but we won't join in. And Bruce now says, that's not good enough. We've got to have organisations for the people to say, there must be no more war, not just individuals saying we're opt out. Well, if that could spread, at the moment I don't see it. But that, the hope that I have is that these good ideas that are around just may somehow germinate and work.
Well, you've certainly done your bit, Paul, throughout your life, and thank you very much indeed for sharing yet more of your ideas and experiences with me. I'm sure I shall be back again in the future, because I know you're not going to rest.
Well, I'm slowing down with difficulty.
But I know you've got a very happy home life.
That's very, very, very wonderful. Yeah.
You do. You've got so much in common.
And I sometimes see, you know, my first wife as being the victim of my activism. I don't think she really saw much of me. And when my children were young, they didn't see much of me either, and that's created a wound in them that is healed. I mean, I have a good relationship with my children, but it had to be rebuilt. Not that they were that was ever destroyed by any action; it was destroyed by inaction towards them, you know. And I think this people say, "Oh, well, that's what most fathers were like."
I think fathers of your and perhaps my husband's generation would feel that, yes.
Yeah.
And life was very different, and the whole ethos of the role of the husband.
That's right,
the family, it's changed, thank
heavens. It's changed, thank heavens. And so I can see my son has a hands-on relationship to his two young children that I envy him now, because I didn't.
You've come to peace with them, and that's the important
that's
thing.
Right.
Thank you very much, Paul.